Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Prayer Podcast. I'm Pastor Joe Patterson, and I'm joined here with two of my really dear friends, Pastor Christy Allen and Pastor Adam Schurz is joining us today.
Hey,
on the
guys.
Podcast.
It's good to have Adam here.
Yes, and so we are once again in kind of a series here within the Prayer Podcast of discussing and dialoguing and kind of wrestling with the realities and the potential power within specifically the Lord's Prayer. And our sermon series that we're currently in, dealing with the kingdom of God, and just it's rich, it's promise, it's provision on us as God's people. And so we've brought Adam here today to kind of talk a little bit about that. And really where our prayer challenge is, mm-hmm. in terms of as a church praying the Lord's Prayer together, and just the potential of subsequent challenges down the road here during 2019, and just where that could potentially bless us as a congregation. So, yeah. Adam, welcome.
Hey. Yeah, I'm glad to be talking about this and really to make the link between what we teach and what we practice and just guiding the or participating in the conversation about prayer. It really encourages me to think about how many people in our sphere of influence in our church are praying. And so the conversation helps me remind me why we're doing what we're doing. So just a couple things. One is that our focus for 2019 is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So God and the things of God and how we long for that, how we grow and desire for that. And there'll be teaching aspect to that, but there also will be prayer and the prayer, you know, challenges that come with each series. So each series has a focus, but all of it really does come out of Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is the starting point for us.
Yeah.
So the first series was on the kingdom of God, you know, in broad strokes. But then we go back to the next series. For example, we'll go to the part of the prayer that says, "Lead us not into temptation." And sort of right early on in the year, we wanted to get to some of the challenges of living in God's kingdom and how there is a clash of those kingdoms,
right? Yeah.
So you say, okay, I do want God and I do want the things of God, but almost immediately all of us feel that tension, like this clash. So we began praying the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of the year, just to kind of get us started. And then we're gonna go deeper into that throughout the year. So some thinking behind that, some values, you know, that we're trying to hold up. I'm going to take this from Mike Slaughter, who said that at Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church, they came to three values that guided them. And the first was undiluted devotion to Jesus.
And the second,
yeah, I do too. You know, so you know, we've been doing communion every Sunday at church, and that is a chance to kind of make sure we don't take for granted or assume that this is about the love of God through Christ that's been given to us, and communion centers us on that every week, and I'm loving that. So undiluted devotion to Jesus. The second is a kingdom worldview. So part of what we do is shape the way we think about everything, and that's this current series has been a chance to do that. Hasn't been super practical because the idea was to work on that worldview, like we begin to see the world differently and have a picture of a different world that we imagine and dream and then also long for. So there's that desire thing again. And so we go from undiluted devotion to Jesus to kingdom worldview that leads to a missional lifestyle.
So the practical, how you live into
how
that.
How do you live that out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're sort of laying down, you know, a beat, if you know, for lack of better way of saying it. We're laying down a beat and then we're going to start to make the music. And I'm really excited about that.
That when you were saying that, made me think of last week when we were talking kind of through the structure of the prayer, and how the prayer itself leads you there.
Yeah.
How he starts off, you start off with your kingdom come, your will be done. And then it gets into the nitty gritty of what does that mean how do I live into that? What is my part in that? How do I look to God for provision, direction, And then self-examine, you know, where do I need to focus on my trespasses?
Right.
And then, so I love that the very next series is going to be about the temptation, because I think we're uncomfortable with that. And right. we're uncomfortable, I think, a lot of us, with the thought of who's doing the tempting. Where does the temptation come right. from? And so talk about that a little bit, like how we're going to explore that together in the coming weeks.
Yeah, great. So there are three petitions in the Lord's Prayer, three questions, you know, the requests of God. One is about the present, give us this day our daily bread. Mm-hmm. The other is about the past, forgive us our sins, our trespasses. And the third is about the future. So lead us not into temptation. Well, there's, you know, some confusion or even controversy over that, because obviously God doesn't tempt us.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's Jesus really saying? And, you know, I don't think it translates exactly perfectly. So temptation can be, that word in Greek can be trial, it can be test, or it can be temptation. All of that, again, has sort of this future orientation. Mm-hmm. Like right. we know we need to be ready for something.
Right.
We can assume that it's not going to be easy.
Right.
And that's not God's doing. That's just reality.
Right. right. That's the where we are living, our current situation.
That's the current situation. Mm-hmm. As Pastor Cam says, there's a recognition that we are guerrillas living in enemy territory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So, so in a sense, loosely translated, what we're praying is for us to be ready, because we know there's a trial coming, there's a test, you know, and it's not God who's doing the test. The question is whether we're going to understand who we are and live out of that reality, or if we're going to go down another path. And so temptation is not so much, I do not think it comes from, the real power of understanding temptation doesn't come from that we're at root bad people.
Right.
Then in mm-hmm. fact, right. we're created good in good. God's right. image. Mm-hmm. And so the path of shame and beating ourselves down and all that doesn't help us get what Jesus is preparing us for. Right. Jesus taught us to pray so that we would be ready to live as the children of God that we are, as the called people of God mm-hmm. that we are, to live in his name. So temptation is always a choice of whether we're going to live into who Jesus says we are,
right,
or if we're going to do it our way.
Right.
And the whole next series will spend a lot of time seeing how Jesus navigated those temptations. So as Hebrews says, it's like we don't have a high priest who doesn't know what
yeah.
we've experienced, but one who's been tempted in every way and yet it was without sin. And so Jesus is the one who understood who he was
right.
as God's son, and who lived in every moment out of that sense of call. The good news is that we can too, but we're not Jesus. And
right.
so, you know, we've got a couple things going on. We've got the fact that ultimately Christ is the only one who can do that perfectly and has done that on our behalf. But also he taught us to pray to resist temptation, to be ready for it, and to pray continually for that. So the passage out of Luke ends with the prayer, lead us not into temptation, and then tells us to pray consistently mm-hmm. and repetitively. So
right.
there are a couple examples that Jesus gives. It's sort of like he said, like if there's an unjust judge and somebody's knocking on his door in the middle of the night, well, he's going to get out of bed eventually, not because he's a good guy, but because
he's annoyed.
he's annoyed.
yeah.
yeah. And the phrase in NIV, I think, is out of the shameless audacity of the knocking.
Wow.
Right. So that's part of this prayer thing. Like, we're going to mess this up, but we just keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And then the other part is that God's good. And so Jesus continues and says, if you who have kids, your kid asks for bread, you're not going to give them a rock. And if your son asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake. How much more so is God going to be faithful to those of us who ask?
Right.
So that is part of the deal with temptation. We kind of get down on ourselves and we give up on the fact that we are God's children, called by God for God's purposes in the world. That's maybe the first temptation.
Mm.
The first temptation is to give up on the hope that God has for us,
wow.
the calling that God has for us.
Yeah.
and to choose to do it our way instead of in the hope of what God has, you know, laid out for us and out of the identity that we have in who God says we are. So that's the ultimate temptation. It always involves taking something that's good and using it for something else.
Right. And I think as you were laying that out, and I love that you came back to the prayer and not just to pray, but to do so continually, persistently. And I think that's something here at the podcast we try really hard to talk about a lot is some of the challenges we have in prayer. And I love that you said, well, we're going to mess it up, you know, right. And we're constantly saying there's right. no right way to do it, but we feel like there is. And we're always afraid that we're doing it wrong or he's not listening. So it must be us. We have the problem. Or we get mad at God and say, well, he's not who he says he is anyway. So right. I'm going to quit.
So, yes. So Jesus holds up persistence over perfection.
Exactly. Right. So,
right.
Yeah.
You know, we have also really... we've held this prayer up as something that is relentlessly active. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, I think sometimes when we're discussing, you know, how we can reclaim power of a prayer or an ancient prayer, sometimes we lose how active that prayer is. We feel they're just words. But you know, Christy and I have talked the last couple of weeks about how this prayer, if you really give the due diligence to this prayer, it makes it impossible for you not to hold your life in the light of those things. Like you're talking the past, the present, the future. You know, we are tempted.
Right.
You know, you can't really talk about temptation in a just a, you know, robotic way, because temptation is not robotic. It's not, it's, you know, innovative. It comes at you all different directions.
All day. We have choices all day long. All day. Right.
And it happens on the ground as we're trying to live out what God has told us to do and who God says we are. So the more that we are out there, the more it's going to be a factor.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But I think the first part of the prayer, so to go back to that, tries to continue to captivate our imagination for the thing that we can't see.
Right.
Right.
So we don't get, you know, like I don't think people often feel the real reason why they should resist temptation. You know, it's not to be good little boys and girls.
Right.
It's not to
fulfilling the checklist.
It's not a checklist. Mm-hmm. Right. It's out of this vision of the kingdom of God. Yeah. You know, so the prayer begins with helping us imagine what if God's name was made holy on earth as it is in heaven? What if God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven? And what if we desired that more than anything else?
Right. Yeah.
So we're healed to be made whole, and we're made whole to be part of this thing that is breaking forth around us. And if we look for it, it's there and we can join it. And usually part of temptation is for all of us, and I can, you know, speak from experience here, is simply forgetting that.
Yeah.
You know, not having just a clear enough vision, not being captivated by my imagination or our emotions, just forgetting who we are and the power of God's kingdom, or getting disillusioned or tired or frustrated or whatever by the junk that we see around us, you know, the news that we hear that distracts us from the kingdom. Right. There's so much that's just simply a distraction.
Yeah, when you're trapped in the muck and the mire of the daily whatever, whether it's just your daily work life, family, you know, you just have so much going on top of what's happening in the world, on top of, you know, your own emotional distress or frustrations of I am powerless to change this, or what can I do, or I feel like I've done everything I could do and it's still not changing. And I think you're right that to remind ourselves of who we are to God, and then that captivating that vision and that imagination and what it could and should be, and how we can get on board with that, and that kind of helps lift us, I think, sometimes.
I think it does.
You know, and I think we talk also about with prayer in general, but specifically this prayer, we pray it both in community and individually.
Right.
And so think of the power of the communal aspect of that. If each individual person is really dialed into that and trying to recapture that vision, now we have some movement behind that, and
right.
and people
right.
we can rally with and hold each other up, and it's not just us and God anymore, but
all of us together,
all of us right. together, right. which is the kingdom,
yeah.
And things like that. So is that something just question that will be maybe part of this temptation series of how we can help each other. I'm imagining that's part
of that
process.
Yes. So that's a great segue to the next prayer challenge, I think. I mean, there'll be other things that we'll be doing together, including a reading list, because the next series will be through Lent. So there are going to be some specific
scriptures to,
you know, like personal good. And corporate things that
okay.
we do together. So Ash Wednesday is
right.
March
sure.
6th. That's one of those.
Right.
We're going to read, you know, some things that we can read together. But the next prayer focus will be fasting.
Awesome. Okay.
So as of this morning, so hot off the press, we figured out how we want to do that.
I guess you hear it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right here.
Fresh here.
So right there. So we will begin to fast together for Wednesday lunch throughout Lent, and we'll start that. We'll have some time because this series starts before Lent. We'll let people know, but March 6th on Ash Wednesday, we'll do a communal fast. And so everybody will be doing that as individuals, but then we'll be doing that together too. And what's great about that first one is that we'll be able to do that and break that fast with communion together on Ash Wednesday, which
right.
will be really cool.
Yeah.
But then that'll carry through all the Wednesdays of Lent, you know, up to April 21st, I think is Easter this year. It's a little late, but that'll be one of the ways that we do that. And then as far as temptation goes, as we look at how Jesus started his ministry and was tempted in the wilderness, we're going to spend some time there. We realize that what he did, you know, before the cross, before his teaching, mm-hmm. before his healing, before his public ministry at all, before he was out in the public eye, all of that was decided by what he did in private.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Ahead of anything.
Yeah.
So the temptation to be relevant over relying on God's provision, the temptation to be famous rather than to worship, the temptation to be powerful rather than to be sacrificial, all of that was decided before really he hit the starting line. And I think there's that personal and corporate thing too. Before his public ministry, he had his private moments.
Right.
And I think we need to explore that together. Right.
Yeah,
both
sure.
both the tragedy, you know, of us being off track in either our public or private life, but also back again to the power, the potential
mm-hmm.
of people who are persistent in praying for God to help them personally. And then the potential of people who are healed and made whole and working together to create a different world. And that in a church like ours, and really in as we have a vision of the church in general, you start to see it. It's pretty clear. It's not just talk.
Right.
Like things
right.
start changing.
Things that's happen. Right.
People start changing.
As transformation takes place individually.
The city looks different.
And
things
corporately.
Things do become new.
Yeah, things yeah. are becoming new all around us. And I guess that would be maybe just a point of encouragement, because from our seat, I think certainly mine, I get to be with people in some of their worst moments. We get to be with them in some of their
sure.
worst moments. And also we get to see some of the best of people. And so often people will say, isn't it a burden to carry, you know, my cancer diagnosis with us? And it's like, no, it's not. Because that's what we signed up for in community, not just to be a paid minister,
right.
but just in Christian community. This
sure.
is what we signed up for. The only other option is to go through life kind of shallow and not have deep relationships. But even more than that, God's kingdom is real and is present and is in our midst, as Jesus said. And we get to see that. In fact, we get to name it and call it forth and to celebrate it and renew our hope together through prayer, right?
Yep.
Well, you know, we're entering a very exciting time of year. I mean, as we enter the Lent season, I mean, we head towards, a reminder of the power of the cross, but then are just reminded of how new life and things spring forth from the empty tomb, you right. know, and it's something that has the potential and power to renew us in a real way every year that we go through it. And so I look forward to our continued dialogue and conversation on the podcast as we will be exploring, you know, fasting, and we're going to explore, you know, the power of the Lenten season and how prayer can really impact us in a positive way in our spiritual growth during this season. So we're excited you're here today.
Yeah, thanks. Pastor Adam. And we will have a guide for the fasting, so people probably have some questions.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to put a guide out, so you know, don't need to worry. We're going to do that together and try to guide the process as well. So that practically we're set up for the very thing you talked about, Joe, is to lean into the movement of the Spirit among us. And that's a wonderful thing to be a part of. I want that for everybody. I really do.
Well, we're excited that you've joined us today. And for you listener today, we're excited you were with us as well. And until we get together and conspire and discuss and dialogue again, we would just let you know that we love you, and we're excited about what God's movements are doing amongst us. And until we come again to this conversation, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will talk to you later. Amen.